Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The transgender issue has been very much in the news the past few months, especially. And increasingly, schools have been pressured by homosexual transgender activists, the ACLU, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and the U.S. Department of Education to allow boys and girls bathrooms, locker rooms, and shower facilities, and vice versa. Now the Obama administration has gone one step further and mandated that all schools in the nation comply with the ludicrous demands of the Human Rights Campaign, which is the largest homosexual lobby group in the nation, and that the schools must open all facilities to whomever simply based on that student's feelings. My guest today is Matt Staver. He's the founder and president of Orlando, Florida-based Liberty Council. Thanks, Matt, for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure to be with you.
And what do you guys do down there at Liberty Council?
Well, Liberty Council is an international religious liberty, litigation, education, and policy organization. We're the opposite, if you will, of the ACLU. We have offices in Florida, Virginia, Washington, D.C., and hundreds of affiliated attorneys in all 50 states. We also have other major outreaches in addition to our litigation and education. We have Christians in Defense of Israel, Covenant Journey, which takes Christian college students to Israel. It's an amazing program at covenantjourney.org. And then we also have Liberty Relief International, which is an international humanitarian relief effort to help persecuted Christians around the world, particularly in the Middle East, not exclusively, but particularly in the Middle East, where you have so much persecution taking place.
Oh, yeah, and very destruction of the history of Christianity in that part of the world with the activities of ISIS, that's for sure. So you guys cover a whole gambit of, I mean, your hands are in a lot of different issues or components of the world, actually. That's great. You know, this has been building up because we felt that we knew that where the Obama administration stood on the transgender issue. And we saw, I believe it was Minnesota, where the administration got involved there after, I believe it was the Southern Poverty Law Center brought a lawsuit to, because the school, if I'm remembering correctly, had passed a common sense policy dealing with transgender issues. And so the Southern Poverty Law Center and finally the USDOJ got involved in pressuring the school district to back off. So we know that and what's taking place in the Chicago area. We knew where the administration stood on the transgender issue. And on May 13th, the U.S. Department of Education, the U.S. Department of Justice sent a 9-page letter and a 25-page emerging practices document to all school districts in the nation telling them their new interpretation of Title IX and that they must comply with that new interpretation or they'd lose their federal dollars that schools get. Now, just what is Title IX, and has it changed? And if
Title IX is a federal law that was enacted in 1972, and it applies to these schools all the way through, K through 12 and colleges and universities, and it has various aspects. It's kind of a broad law. But it has a provision about non-discrimination on the basis of race and religion and sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's like to schools what the Civil Rights Act of 1964 is to employment and public accommodations. That also has a provision that says you can't discriminate in public employment or places of public accommodation on the basis of race, religion, or sex.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back in 1964 and 1972, obviously, the natural understanding and the obvious understanding of sex is male and female. Obviously, you can't discriminate on the basis of the fact that you're male or you're female. That's
right.
Pretty obvious.
Right.
So the Congress has been approached several times in the last 10 to 15 years with efforts to try to amend those pieces of legislation to include, along with sex, sexual orientation and gender identity. And repeatedly, Congress has rejected those efforts. So not only do we know the original understanding, but we also know Congress's absolute refusal to amend the statutes to include gender identity. So now what happens is the Obama administration comes out with this memo which on the face of it they say does not have the force of law, and that's an underestimate. It certainly does not have the force of law. It's contrary to common sense and logic and the statute.
That's the sentence that the schools will skip over, I'm afraid.
I know, because once they acknowledge that, which they have to, then they go on to say, however, if you don't comply with this, you could be sued by the Department of Justice, mm-hmm. and you could lose your Title IX funding. Well, how could they lose their Title IX funding? I guess if they violated Title IX. But now they just said that Title IX, their interpretation, doesn't have the force of law. Mm-hmm. So what you clearly see happening here is the fact that the Obama administration is, on the one hand, acknowledging that their opinion is lawless, but on the other hand, that they're going to act anyway. So, you know, the fact is I am encouraging schools to continue to protect the privacy and the personal security of their students, because these kinds of policies that say you can use the restroom, the shower room, the locker room of your choice simply because you think in your mind that you're something else than what you have been created to be, or you're wanting to just simply use that restroom and no one can find out what's going on in your mind either way,
right.
That the bottom line is boys can use girls' restrooms. Boys can use girls' shower rooms. Boys can use girls' locker rooms and have a complete state of undress while this is going on. It puts the privacy at risk of girls and obviously their personal security. So this is absolutely an absurd and insane kind of policy. So we're urging schools to resist. We will represent them to file preemptive suits against the federal government, or we'll defend them in the event that the federal government comes after them. We'll also represent parents and students, their children, who are concerned about the fact that they will have to use facilities now where boys can simply barge in while they're in a complete stage of undress and very vulnerable.
Yeah, I know, and the directive specifically says schools should do that. Should do this even if the community and parents complain. You know, that schools should go ahead and do this and just ignore the complaints of the parents of these students, because the parents are bigots. Basically, that's the way that's to be interpreted. But I know that in some school districts that have already, you know, prior to May 13th, have implemented these type policies. There have been students, actually families, who have sued, such as a school district 211 in Chicago, where over 50 families are suing the federal government and the school district because they've implemented this ludicrous policy to allow one male student who identifies as female to have access to all the girls' facilities. It's, you know, it's just, is the world going crazy? I mean, who would have thought?
It is going crazy.
Yeah, who would have thought?
I mean, it's going absolutely nuts. Even in New York, the New York Human Rights Commission is considering making it illegal to use a pronoun to someone when they don't want it. In other words, if you
goodness.
Have a male or female, he or she, but they want to be called Z, that they're neither male nor female.
You serious?
If you don't
use the word Z, you'll be fined.
They'll
be fined. They actually are considering that you have to use a pronoun that this person wants, even though it's a made-up word.
So, I mean, this is an absolute obliteration of objective reality. Mm-hmm. It is indoctrination at its height to indoctrinate, force people to accept something that is contrary to observable objective reality. You know, you are born male or female, and if you think that you are a female but you're trapped in a male mm-hmm. body that has male DNA and male anatomy, then we should not make a law to allow you to follow the confused state of mind. You ought to be getting counseling. I mean,
right.
That is a mental disorder. Let's just be very frank
mm-hmm.
with it. This is not normal. It's not normal to think that you're someone trapped in a different body.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like apotemnophilia. Apotemnophilia is a mental disorder of someone who is a person who thinks they are disabled, but they're trapped within an abled body. Now, wrap your mind around that.
Goodness.
They think that they should not have an arm, but they actually do have an arm, and they want to get their arm amputated.
Yeah, there was one situation where a woman was actually had herself blinded because she wanted to blind, I guess, or something along those orders.
That is apotemnophilia. That is someone who does not think they should be able to see, so they actually have themselves blinded. I mean, we now have people who think that they're a parrot, and so they go through plastic surgery to make themselves look like a parrot. We have someone who thinks that they're a lizard, frankly. I mean, this is it's silly
where
stuff.
Where does it stop? I mean, yeah, where does it stop?
Where does it stop?
And you know, with this directive from the department, quickly, is it unusual for the Department of Education and the Department of Justice to send a joint directive like this to school districts?
I've never seen it before, okay. ever. And of course, you know, we see these things coming from the Obama administration. He can't get his will pushed through the legislature,
right.
So he does this through these letters.
And
unfortunately, some schools, even though they would win, they just, number one, they'll use this as an excuse to do it because this is what they want to do.
Yeah.
Number two, some of them will be intimidated and they don't want to get into the fight. And so they're going to be forced to do something that if they resisted, they would win. But there's a number of schools and there's a number of states right now, governors in North Carolina and Texas and many other places right now that are saying, take a hike, Obama administration. This is not the law, and we're going to protect our students. We're not going to go down this ridiculous path.
Right. Yeah, I know 12 governors thus far have said, like you said, take a hike, Obama. But Pennsylvania's governor, Tom Wolf, he nominated a transgender woman, quote-unquote woman, to be a physician general. And unfortunately, our Senate unanimously confirmed this individual, a man who thinks he's a woman. So I don't see any help for parents here in Pennsylvania from Governor Tom Wolf because he very much wants this to happen. So I don't see that happening. And unfortunately, there have been about 3 or 4 school districts in the state that have already changed policies to accommodate transgenders, opening the bathroom doors to boys' bathrooms, to girls, and girls' bathrooms to boys. So we've already had that happening, mostly in Pittsburgh area and Philadelphia area, you know, the Looney Tune areas of the state, I tend to call them. But it's not, as you mentioned, it's a mental illness. So in so doing, in so validating these choices of these kids, they are ignoring the underlying issues that are leading kids to think that they're the opposite sex.
They are. They're actually creating a problem because the very, very few people that have this internal struggle about whether they
less than a million, according to a 2012 Gallup poll.
Yeah, it's very, very little.
Yeah.
But when they're adolescents, when they're young, the studies show that the very, very few of those that have this confusion, it just naturally resolves without any intervention.
They kind of grow out of it. Yeah.
Now, so what happens is what you're going to do to these people who are going to naturally resolve the conflict in their mind without any intervention, you're going to encourage them, frankly, you're going to entrap them into thinking that this is the way that they should be, that they're always going to be this confused situation where they're a boy, but they're trapped in a girl's body, or they're a girl trapped in a boy's body, and therefore we even have some absurd situations now where parents at young ages, 10, 11, 12, are giving their children hormone-blocking medication.
Wow.
That will make them permanently sterile for the rest of their lives.
Wow.
Blocks the production of testosterone for the boys or estrogen for the girls. Mm-hmm. And then later on, they go through this high dosages of estrogen or testosterone, whichever.
Yeah.
And then they go through plastic surgery. I mean, face it, you cannot change your sex you change your clothes.
Yeah.
You are what you're born to be.
Yeah, and but they're trying to say, well, gender's fluid. It's a social construct. You know that it's society that puts pressure on males to be boys and on females to be girls. And I'm thinking, you people are all crazy. Unfortunately,
they're crazy.
You know, unfortunately, the too many involved with the American Psychological Association are all on board with this. I mean, they are encouraging counselors to encourage parents who have children who are confused about their sexuality to allow the child to play out that or to embrace that confusion. And
they are. You know, Paul McHugh, however, he's a psychiatrist
from
Johns Hopkins University, and he says, look, this is mental disorder state. And you know, one of them said, you don't give liposuction to someone who's an anorexic. Think about that.
Yeah,
somebody is emaciated, but when they look at the mirror, they think that they're overweight, that they're fat, and therefore they have to regurgitate their food in order to not eat and lose more weight. So they come to you and they say, I've got this problem. They're already emaciated.
Yeah.
I'm too fat. Can you give me liposuction? Well, what do? You give them liposuction, or do you sit them down in a counselor's chair and try to resolve the mental a confusion that they have. That's what you do.
Yeah.
It's the same way here. You don't give them estrogen to over-counter their testosterone and then go through surgery and then give them legal protection to say you can go into any restroom, whatever. You know, on our website, aside from all the confusion that's out there, there's no question that there are people who don't think that they're a male trapped in a female's body or vice versa. They are male and they know they're male.
Mm-hmm.
But these laws will allow them to go into these women's facilities.
Right.
And they want to go in there to photograph the girls under the stall in the restrooms or
the
in the
predators.
Shower facility. They're sexual predators and they're perverts.
Yeah.
And once they take those photographs and stick them up on the web, you can't retrieve them.
Yeah.
And we've got like 50 incidences already posted on our website, just in a quick search of situations where girls and women have been assaulted or videotaped because of these kinds of policies.
You know, but what they're saying is in the case of the school, well, not just in the schools, but anyone who is pushing this issue is saying, well, it's for the safety of the transgenders. And they're saying, you know, they're saying that we are accusing transgenders of being sexual predators, but that's not what we're doing. We are just simply saying that this opens the doors. It allows sexual predators to take advantage of these laws and do just what you're saying, you know, photograph or assault. You
that's
know,
right. Because, you know, even to ask them to say, I'm sorry, this is the women's restroom, do you really think in your mind that you're a girl? Even to ask that question would be like asking the question, I'm sorry, this is the restroom for whites only. Do you really think that you're white when it looks like you're black?
Mm-hmm.
You have to go down the hallway. You know, that would be discrimination, obviously. If you're going to ask the question even to try to figure out what's in this person's mind. And if they come back, by the way, and say, yeah, I do identify as a girl. Well, you don't look like a girl. Well, there's nothing that requires the person to look like anything.
Right.
They could be a mustached, bearded man and go into the women's changing facility or shower room. In fact, Clay Scott, or Colleen Francis, as he calls himself, is a biologically, anatomically very objective male.
Mm-hmm.
But thinks that he is a female and therefore puts on this gaudy makeup and goes into Evergreen College's sauna room completely disrobed, exposing his male genitalia.
Mm-hmm.
When the girls come in there to change for their sporting activities, here's this, you know, freak person, frankly, that's there exposing himself. And when they complain, instead of them getting the results, they say, well, the school says they can't do anything about it because they got this transgender policy.
Wow.
He has the right to be there. So now these girls don't have the right to have their privacy.
Yeah.
You know, even as far back as 1975, Ginsburg, who's the Supreme Court Justice now, but a Columbia law professor then, said that segregated bathrooms are oftentimes required to protect a person's privacy.
Wonder if she would say that today. Wonder if she's evolved on this issue.
Who knows? I mean, back then, the argument was that the Equal Rights Amendment, if passed, would ultimately allow men to use women's restrooms. And so she was trying to rebut it. She said, no, don't worry about that. So we don't even have the Equal Rights Amendment,
that's
and now
true.
We're at this place where men are able to use women's restrooms.
They're actually trying to get the Equal Rights Amendment implemented through tactics like this, I believe. You know, not being able to do it successfully as a constitutional amendment, but to do things like this. So I know parents can sue because it's happening in Chicago. The parents of daughters who are in this situation with this boy who's allowed to come into their bathrooms and locker rooms. But I'm just going to put out a hypothetical situation here. One of these kids, one of these boys who is confused and thinks he's a girl, and his school district complies with this mandate from the Obama administration. And he goes through, you know, his parents are all on board, and they go through the, you know, the puberty blockers. And once he reaches 18, he, of course, throughout his school years, he's encouraged to act out as a girl. And after age 18, he has the surgery and gets body parts chopped off. And then, say, about 30 years of age, he discovers he's really a boy. Could he possibly sue the school district?
I think he could sue the school district. You know, you'd have a statute of limitations issue
there.
But you'd have other people, too, that are along the line, the people who participated in this fraud, the medical professionals, and possibly even the parents who went along and put this young boy in or girl in a situation where it's completely irreversible.
Yeah.
You know, there are stories, as you well know, of people who have gone through these physical surgical interventions mm-hmm. where they have a either mastectomy or a phalanectomy,
mm-hmm.
and they go through the hormone treatments and so forth, and then they become a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize that they're satisfied, they're content with who they were made to be,
right.
and they want to go backwards and reverse it. And, you know, some of these things are, you just can't reverse certain of these things physically once you chop off body parts.
Mm-hmm.
But you can stop taking the hormones, and that'll change, you know, your chemical reactions. But, you know, there are people, I know them. I you know, Walt Heyer is
mm-hmm.
one. I know several of these individuals who have literally crossed the line and come back on the other side,
mm-hmm.
and they regret what they have done. Johns Hopkins University stopped doing these kinds of surgeries because they found that it didn't have any benefit. The incidence of suicide increased by 40% for people who had gone through these surgical procedures. And that there's lots of people who regretted it once they went through this process.
So again, not dealing with the underlying issue of why these individuals are thinking they're the opposite sex, instead of just, you know, they're just doing the pumping them full of hormones and doing the surgeries, thinking that will fix the problem, but they're ignoring the problem.
Yeah, they're actually ignoring it, and they're compounding the problem because they're
true.
Placating the person. It's kind of like giving liposuction to an anorexic.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
Not only do you not deal with the underlying mental problem, but you actually cause physical harm to them
as well.
Absolutely.
So do you guys have resources? I know you said that you would help schools as far as, you know, schools who want to hold the line on this issue and don't want to open the bathroom doors to whomever, and that you'd also help parents. Do you guys have resources, or how would...
We do.
Okay.
We do have resources. You can go to the Liberty Council website, lc.org, for more information, and you can find that right there on our website. And we will also give information about Title IX and representation regarding that. So just go to lc.org for more information.
Okay, yeah, because the whole Title IX thing has been totally, well, people don't know, probably most parents have never even heard of Title IX, so they have no idea what it really says. And then this directive comes down on May 13th saying this is what Title IX says. So I know there's a lot of confusion out there as far as what it really says, you know, what its original intent was. So you do have resources, lc.org.
LC.org.
You guys are there to help parents and the schools, because I know that there are some school districts who do not want to do this, and they don't know what to do, because I know that the school districts, their solicitors never dealt with an issue like this, and you get something like the, you know, like this letter from the Department of Justice and the Department of Education, and you immediately think, well, we have to comply. So it's good that you guys are available and offering your assistance to school districts. So lc.org is your all's website.
lc.org. You can go there, and you'll have the phone number to contact us or the address and email to communicate with us as well.
Okay, fantastic. And I really appreciate all the work you guys do, and keep us, you know, keep us educated on what we can do as concerned parents and citizens to deal with this bathroom issue and other issues that we're confronting as Christians across this nation. So
Thanks so much,
Matt, for being with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Okay, take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.